We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. The Washington Capitals are preparing for the Stanley Cup playoffs Sunday, 3 o'clock, against the New York Rangers. The Washington Nationals just keep making Toby look dumb. They just took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, win the series. Dodgers spent $8 billion. Nats just took 2 out of 3 from them. Nats have to defer a one-year $5 million deal, and they took 2 out of 3 off a $700 million Shohei. Eat it. And the Washington Commanders, they're preparing for the draft in their own fashion. Meanwhile, the fans are ready to kill each other. Like, Commanders Twitter, Jeff, help me out here. It is damn near as toxic as it's ever been.
I just had to take a break from Commander's Twitter for a minute.
You can't be sane and try to explain insanity. And I think that's the ultimate thing. Like, anybody that claims they're sane that constantly goes on the Twitter world and start worried about stuff, you're insane as hell.
Toby, I'll allow you to defend yourself should you so choose. You had the Nats losing yesterday.
No, I took the Nats.
Oh, well, I was misinformed. Congratulations. The Nats took 2 out of 3. Jeff, you told me the Caps are having an open practice. Tell me more, sir.
Okay, so it goes down Friday. I think it's at,
Brian Kettler.
Let me get the right time before I put it out there.
Okay, well, that's good. Let's be right before. It's good to be first, but it's better to be right, Jeff. We'll get to the bottom of that and alert everyone. Brian, first time this week that I feel like we were all here. Everything was chill, easy. Like, there was no chaos this morning.
Uh-huh.
It was nice. I left my house mad early.
But you should try doing that a little bit more often.
When I can, I do. When I can, I do.
I think if you just plan, you'll be able to leave early.
Some days. Some days I'm driving home from Philadelphia and have to stop for gas. Things happen. Yes, Jeffrey.
Okay, so their practice is Friday, April 19th at 10:30 a.m.
Tomorrow at 10:30.
Yep, they have giveaways, opportunities to win playoff tickets, sign memorabilia. They have a sign-making station and an appearance by Slapshot, the mascot.
Boom. Now, I mean this, if we didn't have to, if Leavitt wasn't on vacation and you weren't running the show this week, Jeff, we'd be sending you to that. Just man on the street reporting. I'd like to see you at the sign-making station. I'd like to see you do all of it. However, you know, you're running the show this week, and you're doing a good job. So maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going to try to get a Caps player to join us tomorrow. I think that'd be pretty fun.
One more thing, JP. For the fanatics, the real fans, all babies born at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital or MedStar Washington Hospital Center during the Capitals postseason run will receive a Capitals playoff baby's gift bag.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool. So I had to point that out.
Any baby born at a MedStar hospital, so Georgetown or Kettler, I guess, you get a Caps playoff baby basket.
Hmm.
Jeff.
Yes. Oh, I thought you was just reiterating what I was saying.
No, well, I'm just saying I'm out of the baby business. I believe Brian's out of the baby business.
Yeah, I'm not in the baby business yet.
I'm just saying, of the four of us, you're the best candidate to have a baby in the next couple weeks.
Get us some tickets.
Well, listen, I think the way the math works is that you probably would have had to get to work
eight and a half months ago,
something like that. So, you or Stallion's the best bet, I think, around here.
Yeah, Stallion, do your thing, boy.
Maybe Landfill. Maybe that's why he's on vacation. I don't know.
That is why he's secretly on vacation.
Y'all funny.
Go check out the Caps practice tomorrow if you're able to. That sounds like it'd be real cool, especially they probably travel to, New York Saturday morning, you think, B? When would you go for a 3 o'clock Sunday game?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Saturday, nothing crazy, like 10 a.m.?
Probably. As long as you get there around 24 hours.
Probably fly?
To New York, yeah, they probably will.
All right, so we are really fired up for the Caps. We're going to talk some Caps hockey with Neil Greenberg coming up at 11. John Keim joins us at noon. There was a really interesting, it's funny, J-Dawgs Forever, me and Jeff were consuming the same content this morning, which me and Jeff, our minds are melding together, it appears. Daniel Jeremiah does his podcast. I've been clear that I think DJ's really good at what he does. I was listening to that driving down this morning. Jeff was listening to it when I got into the office. The first question DJ took was actually from a friend of the program, Sam Fortier, Washington Post Commanders reporter. And it was about, like, in lots of things. Like, Brian, you drive an electric car now, right? Mm-hmm. And you love it.
Yeah.
Cars, over the course of time, have gotten faster, more energy efficient, better at heating and cooling. You know, your car now gets satellite radio. There has been, it's not debatable that cars, building cars, evaluating cars has improved over time. Most things in our life, you could probably argue that, right? Like clothing, you and I are both wearing dry fit shirts right now. Mm-hmm. This is much cooler than when we all used to have to wear heavy ass cotton shirts all the time, right?
Like we inhale.
Right. Like things generally evolve and improve. Daniel Jeremiah was asked fairly simply if he thinks the quarterback evaluation process has evolved and improved. And the reality is probably not. Yeah. I mean, just go back.
Because the difference.
Look at last year's draft.
But think about it, though, Jay. The difference is you're making clothes that you have sat there and basically did many studies that tells you, yes, this is cooler. You still can't do a study on a human being and say, this human being is going to be this 10 years from now or that 10 years from now. And guess what happens? Life happens. So people that are on the right track can get, you know, distracted.
Totally.
And they won't be able to do it. And another thing, like I've always said this from the first time I went to the combine, until the people that are sitting up here trying to judge character, judge the heart of a man, you better be able to find out a way that you can find out what's ticking inside of them. And I'm not talking about the literal heart. I'm talking about the whole little, you know, the stuff we play around, like that guy has a heart. That guy has a heart of a champion. You better, if you can't find out that one day, you'll never be able to predict what somebody's going to be.
So I wanted to read this because DJ's comment about evaluating quarterbacks is really interesting, and it kind of speaks to what you're saying, B.
Mm-hmm.
But Doc always makes this point, and sometimes I feel like people ignore it, that so much of the league is just the same from another place that moves around. And I think Doc told me something like his first 6 years, he had six different head coaches or six different offensive coordinators or something. Mm. And there remains a massive good old boy element to all this. If you listen to me, obviously Joe Gibbs and Gary Williams are the coaches of choice for me. But Bill Walsh is undeniably one of, if not the greatest football coach ever. You can argue Belichick, certainly. There's people you can argue. Bill Walsh is in the conversation, period.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I'm going to read something here from Bill Walsh. It's a little long, so bear with me. This is from Bill Walsh, who was known as being like a total class act and the inventor of the West Coast offense. At the top of the club, you've got the owner. He doesn't have the knowledge he should have. He has a knowledge of business. He made it quickly. He wants things to be done quickly without quite knowing how. In the middle somewhere is the GM. Nobody knows why he's gotten to that position. He's firmly within the owner's comfort zone. He demands quite a salary for doing very little. Then there's a personnel man, often a frustrated player or coach. He justifies his position by sending the scouts out. Then there's the coach. He's in there with his assistants at midnight, looking over the film again and again, trying to find out what's wrong. And while he's in there, the owner and the GM and the personnel man are having dinner. And over martinis, they're discussing the team. The GM says, look, we've got the best facilities and administration and exhibition schedule. We've set up every possibility to do a job. The personnel man says, well, we've certainly got the players. We had a great draft. I know because I read it in the papers. Look, everybody knows Smith is a guard, not a tackle. Everybody knows he should be playing instead of Jones. Everybody knows so-and-so should be the quarterback. They put their heads together. What do we do? So they get a new coach, obviously in the GM's comfort zone.
And then they do the same thing in year,
but not,
year in year.
Not too strong a threat. The personnel man's going to side with the GM on anything. He knows where he got his job, so the cycle starts over again. Every 7 or 8 years, a GM is spat out, and the situation continues to exist. Why? TV, the hype, NFL films, NFL properties. Well, it should get the hype. It's a great sport, but it's sure tough on coaches. Obviously, that's written from a coach's perspective for Bill Walsh, but I just think going into the next week, everything is everything. It's going to be crazy. And so we should all just try to take a reminder, a step back, a deep breath, and just be like, dude, next Thursday night is when they're going to make the pick. Adam Peters is going to talk today. Frankly, I don't think Peters is going to tell us anything. I do know that I will ask if others don't, but I think plenty of people will ask just kind of what his goal was with the quarterback visits. Because they tried something different and that's cool, mm-hmm. but like, what landed you with that approach? I'm just curious on that. There's no criticism. Just let me know. Like, I'm curious how you landed on that decision making. Do you think he's going to say anything today? I think we've learned quickly
probably
he doesn't
not.
Say anything.
But the approach of having all the guys come in together, you talking
yeah.
about? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm wondering why that's a problem to people.
I'm not saying problem.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying why is that such a talking point and why is that such a problem? When what does players do when they get on the team? They're around each other, right? What do coaches do? They want to watch how guys interact with each other. And he basically did something that players do daily. And everybody acts as if it's the wrong thing in the world to do. I think it's kind of clever. Because if I ask you how are you with your teammates, you're going to tell me something. If I ask you how you are with new people coming in, you're going to just tell me what you want me to know. But if I put it in front of you, you got to show me. And what happens is, once you get a little comfortable, you get laxed. And what you do?
I can't imagine anybody at Topgolf, say they're there 2 hours, whatever it is, mm-hmm. is going to get that comfortable.
If you are around people and you may possibly be a teammate of somebody, you start talking to them. Yeah. I don't know. Like
it wouldn't be comfortable like if you and I were there hanging out drinking.
If you and I hanging out drinking, we'll be comfortable. What are you talking about?
I'm saying you and I would be. Whatever happened at Topgolf wasn't that level of comfortable.
But what I'm saying is what athletes do is you're meeting new people day in and day out, week in and week out, year
sure.
in and year out. And you cling to somebody or you don't. And I'm sure a coach can sit back and watch the interaction and see what's the one. Is there one person that everybody doesn't go around? Is that one person standoffish? Does he attract people in? The guys that I think are leaders, okay, what are they doing? Are they getting away from people or are they leading people?
So here is an interesting evolution of this thing.
Hmm?
And I legit don't know what to make of this, which my gut is telling me make nothing of it, but it's at least worth discussing. This dude, Brandon, on Twitter, his handle is Drake May MVP, so it appears he has a dog in the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted a quote. He tweeted a video out of Mike Florio bashing the Commanders for bringing in all four of the quarterback prospects at once.
Mm-hmm.
Florio said, why would you dilute your ability to get maximum time and just the opportunity to evaluate? You're trying to evaluate four guys at once. And I think there's a way to ask that question that isn't condescending. Like, there's a way to ask it, like, all right, what made you decide this route of evaluation?
But the whole thing is this. Didn't you hear that they've already met with McCarthy?
Yeah.
Already met with every quarterback, right?
So I'm not even – B, here's the interesting part. I said this in the text thread last night. I don't know if you saw it. Florio asking the question is you know, has value, but that's not what I am interested in here. What I'm interested in is Ron Butler is Jaden Daniels' agent.
Mm-hmm.
He quote tweeted the Florio, why would you do this? Why would you dilute the evaluation process? Mm-hmm. With the emoji, like the smiley face thinking emoji. Mm-hmm. And I'm being serious here. I don't know what it means. Maybe we need to turn to Jeff for emoji gate.
But the whole thing.
But this
though,
is a dude in the process.
It's a dude in the process that's basically wants his guy to be talked to only, right? So he has a dog in the fight.
Certainly.
The guy didn't, he quote tweeted and just saying, I'm asking a question. But I don't think he's sitting up there bashing it. Because if they draft him, guess what he's doing? Gonna be right there happy with him. You know? Listen, man, I'm going to be honest with you.
I wonder if he's questioning what Florio said, like questioning the bashing. I don't know.
But the thing I'm trying to get is, he may be questioning Florio, I don't know, but we are putting too much into all this crap when it's nothing, none of this stuff is nothing to be worried about. Because if they're going to draft one of them, they met with every one of them, and then they brought them all in together. What is the problem? I mean, are we that... We got to a point where we have to overly do things. Just they've done enough so we could talk about and be very interesting. I guarantee you. But that, like this, oh, he brought all these people here together. So?
I agree. Like, us having the opinion, I'm with you. I don't know what
And Florio is a pot stirrer. Let's be real about it.
Yo, agreed. So, but man, the agent quote tweeting it is odd.
But I don't think
I don't
it's
know
odd.
What it means.
But guess what? You don't know what it means? Wait till later and ask the question. But to sit here and try to imagine or assume or start saying, well, this.
I'm not doing any of that. I'm just asking. What do you think it means?
I think it means nothing.
I don't speak with emojis very frequently. Jeff is a young man. Toby, you're younger than me. What the hell do you think it means?
Well, I think the easier answer is he liked a tweet replying to what you had tweeted out yesterday, talking with Breer, kind of laying it out. And basically the guy was like, how many people do this? Why are we doing it this way? Maybe it's just like what B. Mitch was saying, that he's like, why are we not doing this one-on-one if I'm going to be the pick for Jaden Daniels? Mm-hmm. But I think it's more along the lines of what are we doing here? He didn't like the way that they went about it.
You see it that way, Jeff?
I think, it's like, you don't know, because this is my first time even, you know, seeing his agent or hearing anything about him, so I don't know what it meant, because people use different emojis for different things. I think he was just like, whatever, you know. He's still a human, so he's going to have his thought outside of the, you know, professional process, and I really think you just need a burner account at this point. at this point, heading into the draft, even if, you know, it doesn't matter to him or he agreed with something, he just need to get him a burner and be like, all right,
like
I
Durant?
Like this. Yeah, and I don't like this.
I don't at all want to read into a liked tweet, right? I feel like we are getting too far down the rabbit hole. Sometimes I have liked stuff just to try to bookmark it, to look at it later. Sometimes you hit it on accident. That doesn't seem like an accidental like. I also think the agent is allowed to have a very different focus in all of this. Like, his job, what he is going to be paid for is, yo, take care of my guy, the best of anybody in this whole damn draft. And why are you doing this? Why aren't you just telling the world you're drafting him now? Cut the check now. Get me a private jet now. Like, that, the agent's mindset is supposed to be.
That's not what people do. Unless you're the first pick, they don't do that.
Right, but I can see the agent wanting that for his guy.
Yeah, and that's why I say he has a dog in the fight. So a lot of the things he say, I'm not going to take that as anything in it, because he's doing it because he's supposed to be promoting his guy.
Totally. However, things continue to emerge. It's a week out, and we're going to have to keep dealing with all this stuff, because Jaden Daniels is about to have dinner with somebody. That ain't Adam Peters. We thought it was all over. Maybe it isn't. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Tired of those lackluster cooling systems? Well, it's time to switch to Rood and feel the difference. Thanks to the IRA Act, you can score up to $2,000 in tax credits on select heat pump systems. And Maryland residents, there's exclusive rebates on Rood just for you. Personally, I've upgraded to 3 Rood 18-SEER inverter heat pumps to stay cool at my house. Rood keeps me comfortable whether I'm chilling at home or hosting game day parties. So beat the heat this season and visit Rood.com. That's RUUD.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I love this one, Jeff.
We said,
I do think it warrants saying that Go Nats shouted loudly and repeatedly does start to sound similar to a male body part. Go Nats, go Nats.
JP, you
I'm just saying, Jeff.
You are crazy, man.
Bro, all I got big ears. I hear things. What do you want me to do? I think it's time. All right, Toby, let's I think we're about to squash Emoji Gate. Everybody ready? Mm-hmm. Mike Florio said, "Yo, why are they doing this wacky process?" Okay. Rob Butler, Jaden Daniels' agent, quote tweeted it with the Is that the right way to describe that emoji, Jeff?
Yeah.
I think it's entirely possible to see that as him disagreeing with the tweet. Like, yo, I don't really think this is accurate. I think it's also entirely possible to view it as, maybe this guy's on to something. There are two sides to that coin. I recognize that. And then, Toby, what bothered you was a tweet that he liked. Remind me.
Yeah, he liked a tweet that basically said, how many teams do this? Why do I care how he interacts with players he's never going to play with? Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. News has come to my attention. Another liked tweet has come to my attention. I want to credit Youngest Haley for making me aware of this. Washington, D.C. Sports News tweeted out, this is JD's agent disagreeing with the take, in my opinion. Let's not let Twitter dilute our draft thoughts, please. And Ron Butler, Jaden Daniels' agent, also liked that tweet that said this is him disagreeing with the Florio take. That, to me, is the overriding answer here. In the words of old Bill Shakespeare, this is the ultimate much ado about nothing. Is everybody on board?
I think we were backpedaled about 9 minutes. I thought that at that moment.
Okay. B was ahead of the curve. Toby, you seem to disagree.
I think all of the hype is about nothing.
Well, okay, so I don't think it's that big of a deal, but why is it now that they're meeting with the Vikings after reports were saying it was hard for them to get a Vikings meeting for so long?
Maybe the Vikings saw them meeting all these other people, and the Vikings were moved by it, decided, let me try to talk to them because I may be able to move up.
This is the news here. Former LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, this is from Tom Pelissero, who lives in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Lest anybody not believe this. Former LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels is scheduled to have dinner tonight with Vikings brass in Baton Rouge, per his agent, per Ron Butler. Mm-hmm. Minnesota owns the 11th and 23rd picks and has been gathering in all the info in case there's an opportunity to move up for one of the top quarterbacks.
So yesterday when we talked to Albert Breer, he said exactly that, bringing everybody in may make somebody else think they can move up and try and do something. If they come with the right price, then you got something that you can be working with, right?
Maybe the Vikings really want J.J. McCarthy and are worried the Patriots are going to take him. And so they're looking at their other options. Like, I don't know.
I think the whole thing of like, listen, man, let's be real. There are people who don't want Jaden Daniels, who are making this a big thing and trying to make it out to where Jaden and his agent are doing stuff. That's where I think a lot of the hype comes from.
I think there's a lot of people that do want Jaden Daniels, though, and think that the agent's pissed off and are worried about it.
Well, but I think the agent isn't pissed off. I think you're going to read sometimes what you want. You got to begin to decipher some things, you know. And the other teams now starting to make a move. Hey, maybe you think you got a chance or not. But the ultimate thing is we can't keep looking at words. and overreacting because words don't tell you nothing. They don't give you inflection. They don't give you much of what. And we take a word and we have five arguments about four or five words or emoji. And then all
we
of a sudden,
arguing about words. We find out emojis.
We find out later on, none of it made sense.
Jeff, what?
Now I was laughing because as I'm looking on Twitter, somebody said Drake May smoked everybody at Top Golf. Jaden Daniels' agent saw that and was pissed.
What if Michael Penix just shows up with the smoothest lefty swing? He looks like Fred Couples out there, and they're like, F it. We're trading back. We're taking Penix. You see the way that dude hits a 7-iron?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I did see a video of Drake May swinging a golf club, and he looks like somebody that you'd enjoy playing golf with, B-Mitch.
What, does he know how to chug vodka? Because that's who I enjoy playing golf with.
You know who I enjoy playing golf with that play quarterback here? Any quarterback that could play. I don't give a damn if you can play golf. I know a lot of people might get caught up in that. Brian Mitchell thinks like this. If the damn guy is going to make the team better, I'll play golf with him, bowl with him, drink with him, whatever. If he can't play football, to hell with him.
I've played golf with a bunch of quarterbacks recently, and none of them had a playoff win. Some of them had good swings. Some of them had weird swings. Some of them hit it a mile. Some of them played a big slice.
I'm not moved by all of this.
I like Doc's attitude towards golf. Doc doesn't want anybody to play his golf because it takes up too much time.
And if you play with Doc, you'll see he doesn't play
Doc
a lot of golf.
Doc is like steadfast. He's like, I do not want a coach that plays golf. And the one thing I've told him this, and he loves this, is years back. I mean, hell, how long has Sean been gone? This is years ago. I used to get a weekly interview with McVay, and this is when he was the OC. And I remember asking him one time, you know, because you're on camera for 7 minutes, and then you're kind of BSing on either side, like 2 or 3 minutes. Does that sound about right, roughly? Mm-hmm. And one time I was just talking when it was like a beautiful day. I was like, oh, man, I want to get out there and play golf today. I was like, do you play? He's like, nah, man, that stuff's not for me. I was like, really? He's like, I'm just way too competitive. I'm not good enough. I'd rather be doing something else. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I know Jay and the guys love it. It's just not for me. And that answer has always stuck with me if you consider what McVay is and how maniacally detailed to winning he is. Mm-hmm. Speaking of maniacally detailed to winning, now this is not emoji gate, all right? I think we're past emoji gate. Perhaps we never will be. Perhaps this will leave a permanent scar on our brains. But when you talk about maniacally committed to victories, Brian, I think Bill Belichick is somebody you could describe in that vein. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick talking to Pat McAfee about pre-draft visits.
I don't know if you heard this or not. The Commanders actually hosted 20 guys mm-hmm. for 20 of their 30 visits. 20 at the same time went to Topgolf last night. Mm-hmm. Went Sweet. To Topgolf last night. Have you ever done any of that? You take them to Topgolf, maybe a little roller skating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we weren't real big on that. It wasn't more of a recruiting for us. It was informational gathering, but I think we had maybe as many as a dozen come in on the same day, and a lot of times we'd combine the groups, so quarterbacks, tight ends, receivers, so that we could interact and work with them individually, but also collectively see them, you know, work together with each other. The quarterback call play and a receiver talk about what he'd do on it and things like that, or you know, four or five, six linemen at the same time, so you could kind of you know, be a little more efficient in terms of the staff time spending with them. But sometimes that's just dependent upon what the player's schedule is. And so some guys, you know, will take 20 or visits and other guys will have 2 or 3. So scheduling sometimes becomes, you know, a difficult part of those 30 visits. But yeah, I can see bringing in a lot of guys at one time. It is an efficient way to, you know, use the visit time for your staff, because the more you tie your staff up on those visits, then the less productive you can be doing other things.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, I in the college world, I've gotten dropped in there. They have those recruiting weekends, you know, some of these schools. And it's like right. every weekend, it's mm-hmm. a recruiting weekend. And these coaches, like, you got to recruit via phone all week. You got to prepare for a team. And then you got a recruiting weekend. And then I talked to Oregon coach Dan Lanning. And, you know, Washington's probably going to be pretty similar with your son and the entire crew up there with Fish. They schedule like one weekend because it's such a far trip. And it's like we have our recruiting weekend mm-hmm. with a lot of our recruits. And then it also frees us for football mm-hmm. for all the other times. Not a bad concept.
So I liked that McAfee joked. You imagine Bill Belichick taking a future draft pick roller skating?
Yeah. That'd be incredible. It's like listening to them just now. And you can think what you want about Bill. And he'd say we were bringing as many as 12. And they won 6 Super Bowls, 10. They went to 10 of them, whatever. I would take that over what the hell the people that take only one and what they've been doing. We haven't seen a playoff win. When McAfee mentioned college, it took me back. When you go on a recruiting visit in college, what do? They may have 3-4 of the top quarterbacks the same weekend. They may have 20-30 people there. It wasn't a problem then. Why is it such a problem now? When you've been to Maryland, at the games, when they bring in the recruits, it's not one or two people. It's multiple people. It's something that has been going on. And listening to Bill, you've heard him say, so at first we thought it was the 49ers. Now we know it's the Patriots. If you keep asking, I'm sure this is not the only two that did it.
Well, and I think it's a good time to remind people that Adam Peters broke in as a scout with the Patriots in the Belichick mold.
Yeah.
So when we go talk to Adam Peters this afternoon and he talks for 15 minutes, it doesn't really say anything. Remember, he's of the Belichick mold. When Belichick says, yeah, we used to bring, and Belichick made a great point there. The longer you have front office guys who aren't necessarily their job is talent evaluation. Yo, how fast, what is the 10-yard split for a right guard that we need to operate our offense at its most efficient, and what can this kid do? What can our strength and speed guys get him to do in 2 years? Mm-hmm. Their job is not to see how guys interact and if a wideout seems like a selfish guy or if he seems like a team guy. Like, that's probably more for coaches. Mm-hmm. And the more time you have visits, people get tours around here, right, B?
Yep.
And it's cool. You go talk to the kids as much as you can, but we also got to work. So I can wrap my head around a lot of it. I think more than anything, it's because this is quarterbacks. If they brought in 8 offensive linemen and took them all to the zoo and then they went and got ice cream, nobody would care.
But the whole thing about it, Jay, they brought in about 20 players. They didn't just bring in quarterbacks.
Right.
And I think that's the laziness of us in the media, laziness of individuals to where you're only focusing on the quarterbacks. They brought in like 20 people. So they did bring in more than just the quarterbacks. And as Bill is stating, you have multiple coaches. So the quarterbacks can be with the quarterback coach. The receivers can be with the receiver coach. You could do a multitude of things at one time and still not have everybody in the same thing at all times. But we all know that they're not drafting 4 quarterbacks. You got to draft one of the 4. And what's the best way of finding out who's the best when you want to do something? Put them side by side and let them do the exact same things together.
Hopefully they're not judging them on who hits the 7-iron best, but
I think the interaction with people. I think Topgolf just happens to be a spot to where they can have some fun, let the guys relax a little bit instead of being so. Because I will tell you, sitting down talking to the guys at the combine, that wasn't fun and comfortable.
Nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking.
And the other thing that, especially for folks out of the area that listen to the show that are Skins fans, I think it's worth pointing out, Topgolf is also 300 yards from the practice facility. It's right across the street. Like, yeah, they didn't have to get on a school bus and go a half hour away. Listen, we got a break. We're coming right back. Greenberg at 11. Jeff paying homage to the great Al Galdi, I think. Was it Galdi that used to do Go-Go Thursday?
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. No complaints here. Did you see, I saw the Commanders tweeted out that they're going to have a go-go band at National Harbor on Thursday. Mm. Thought I saw that somewhere.
Thursday?
Saturday. So next Saturday.
Say it Thursday, though.
Well, I'm an idiot. I believe the Commanders draft party is next Saturday at National Harbor, right?
From 11 to 4, something like that.
Yeah, and the Capitals open practice is tomorrow at Kettler at 10:30.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting the news to the people. I'm trying to find. I think I saw it. You know, Cookie.
Yep.
Cookie posted this. Yeah. All right. Jeff, do you know the District Kings? BoJack, Go-Go Mickey, and Jammin' Jeff.
I don't know the first guy, but I do know Jammin' Jeff and Go-Go Mickey.
Of course, you know Jammin' Jeff.
Like, are you a Jammin' Jeff's kind of a cool name. Yeah, it might be funnier. It might be cooler than Jeff Too Funny.
That's before my time, though. Go-Go Mickey's a Congo player, so y'all probably get some nice pockets and a little bounce going on there.
Are you going to go to the draft party next Saturday? National Harbor?
I don't think so.
Why not? Where are you going? What do you got better?
Hey, if it's an opportunity.
B's going. Toby's going.
You know, it's money season for DJs. If it's an opportunity to make some money, I'm there.
I agree with that, but do you have an opportunity to make some money?
That's why I said I don't know. It can come at any time.
Okay, gotcha.
I can't commit to that.
What about you, Toby? You going to the draft party?
I got family coming in town, so I'm probably going to have to pass.
I
got to
figure out, your family lives here or Wisconsin? I can't figure you out, Toby.
I got family all over the place, but my dad lives in Florida. He's coming to visit.
Okay, where's your mom live?
Out here.
Okay, that's who lives in Strasburg. Steven Strasburg.
No, we Herndon now.
Okay. Who lives in Strasburg? Just you?
I grew up there.
Okay. Got it. Getting to the bottom.
This dude here, man.
Steven right Strasburg.
Here, to say he has 2 degrees and big ass ears doesn't really pay attention a lot.
That's accurate. 2 degrees, big ass ears. How we all feeling about Emojigate? We feel good? We done? Jeff, you feel better? I feel like we've explored it, certainly.
I was going to say, I never felt no type of way about it.
I threw it in the trash can and lit it. I burned it up early.
Brian was all out on Emojigate from the second we started. My gut was that he was kind of disagreeing with Florio's take. I feel somewhat accurate in that because he liked this tweet that said that. I also think going too deep on liked tweets on Twitter is a fool's errand. B is out. I feel fine. You know, Jeff is out.
I retweeted one, and I didn't must know the whole damn thing yesterday.
The one where it was Rooster insulting Landfill?
I thought he was just saying so. I didn't know he was going all the way to insult Landfill. But then again, I probably should have known. Because they insult each other all the time.
What about you, Toby? You feeling better?
I mean, I'm fine, but I think it's a little bit bigger deal than you guys are making it, but it's also not that big of a deal, right? Like, I think last night I was a little more into it, but then hearing B-Mitch say, like, I mean, he's the agent for Jaden Daniels. Of course he's going to care what Jaden Daniels has happening, and if he doesn't necessarily like it, it doesn't really matter, but of course he wants the best for Jaden Daniels. So hearing that and thinking about it that way, it kind of diminishes it a little bit.
Toby feels diminished. We're all making progress. Neil Greenberg is coming on the program next. I got a Neil Greenberg story, but I'm judging that old Greenberg thinks the Caps have a fighter's chance going to New York. Nobody go anywhere.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.